Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
Last week, we opened by discussing a little creature on planet Earth that can completely digest itself and then be a pool of sort of ooze and reform inside of a cocoon. And the result of this is flight. It's the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. This week, we continue our conversation on transformation. The human being, human reincarnation, human afterlife will be our discussion this evening with your host, Mr. Darren Bouquet. Join us in our circle.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
And welcome to another episode of Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Bouquet. My name is Daniel Michael, and I'm the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network with my friend, Mr. Kevin Baird, and a brief rundown of the shows on our network, starting with this one at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Sunday is Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet. He is a reader, intuitive consultant at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. So check him out. Check out Marie Laveau's if you happen to be in the area. Wouldn't mind going to that area sometime in the near future. I used to live on the Gulf Coast. Now, on Mondays, we have, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Science of Light with your host, Mr. Randy Goldberg. Randy is a Vedic astrologer as well as a Western astrologer. He discusses Jungian archetypes and all sorts of mystical things. Check him out, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Randy Goldberg. Then on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. She's a master herbalist. Check her out. Head of the Wise Woman Center, a teacher. She talks about psychology of healing, women's health issues, and herbal medicine is people's medicine, is her favorite saying. So that's at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesdays and at Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This week our guest is Karen Tate. She's the author of a few books, including Goddess Sites Around the World is the topic of one of her books. Anyway, join us 7 p.m. Eastern Time, myself and associate producer Janice R. White, the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe. Then on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Renegade Wise Woman Radio with Queen Mother Imaku. She does original language prayers in the Kemetic tradition, as well as teaches Kemetic yoga, talks about social awareness issues. So join her at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Then at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays, we have Walking on the Sidewalk with Kevin Bear, the creator of the Horizon Oracle. And welcome, I see in the chat room there, everyone there. And Kevin is an artist, the creator of Frozen Smoke. I have some of that hanging on my wall right now, as well as vases and vases, depending on where you're from and how you pronounce things. Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, check him out at www.templegaia.com. Then we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with Jessie Ann Nichols George, with all four of her names as a host. And she is the author of four books as well. Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, and You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, all about relationships. And I think it's a step way above men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We all have different levels of masculine and feminine within us, and she discusses those energy levels in her book. On her show, it's very eclectic. Check it out. Musicians, artists, philanthropists, all sort of different things. Well, midnight, Friday. So that makes up the seven shows right now on the Main Street Universal Radio Network, and I see that Darren is in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Welcome, Darren.
Buonasera, everyone. Hello, and this is Darren Bouquier. I hope you've had a spiritually insightful Sunday so far. I've had a very marvelously nice, relaxing, and insightful day myself. How about you, Daniel Michael?
I had a very musical day. I just got done a band practice with my band, mm-hmm. Dragon's Head, and it was great to have everybody there. We haven't had everybody there in a while. We've had a productive recording week with me going mm-hmm. over track with the engineer, Stefan, but it was good to have Scott there, my brother, the drummer, and El Grand, mm-hmm. the bass player, and just to have everybody there. It was mm-hmm. great.
Well, that's cool. Okay. So sometimes you do little fragmented versions of that in the studio. But
yeah,
now,
basically we have most of the basic tracks down, and then what happens is then we go back and we, you know, pretty things up a little bit. Like, oh, do we want to add a
mm-hmm.
guitar solo here, or do we want to do a backup harmony there, add an acoustic guitar here? So we record mm-hmm. together live. We don't use a tick track. Everything we do, most of it, not everything, but most of it is we pretty much do it live, and then we go after and go, okay, well, maybe we need a better this or a better that. And so, but today was more just a rehearsal.
Were you fine-tuning some things today? What was that about? What was today's?
Today's purpose, okay, honestly, was just a straight rehearsal because we just haven't played together as a whole band in quite a few weeks.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
And we've normally had a pretty good pattern of once or even twice a week, which is rare for adults that all have day jobs, to be able to get together twice a week. But we're trying to be very tight, you know, we are becoming a very tight, you know, unit, and getting it all together. We still think a September release is very reasonable, and the main thing now that'll slow a little, I'm always saying this in a kind way, is the fact that we are bringing in guest musicians, like the bagpipe player and the flute player, so getting their schedules coordinated with us is probably going to be the main thing that slows us down, actually. But that's okay, because we want them there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds good. Sounds like you're kind of closing the circle as it is and kind of reining stuff in and making it happen, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. On the downhill of it, you know, the downhill side of it.
Yeah, that's nice. The uphill is always the tough one.
Yeah.
That's the rough one. Well, speaking of uphill and downhill and that sort of thing, tonight I thought I'd share a little bit about what it means to want to ascend and become that higher angelic person. A lot of people talk to me about the ascended idea of making sure that their soul goes to that next stage. You know, when we leave our body, are we going to graduate on our soul path, the soul path being the path that our soul takes from life to life, and are we going to learn our lessons? Because I do see and sit with quite a few people that tend to have gravitated towards some of the same types of lives again and again and again and again, and are they learning the lesson that they need to learn? And if so, why is that happening? So it's graduating to that next stage. It's moving to that next level. And how do we do that? And some people, if you're a little bit more magically or mediumistically inclined, you can actually make sure that your spirit comes back to assist people or do things in the afterlife after you're gone. And there are ways to do that. Now, whether you believe it or not is the question, and whether or not it's even a good idea, are you going against the laws of the universe by doing so? Are you taking, you know, destiny into your own hands? And if so, is that a bad thing? And if so, then, you know, isn't taking destiny into your own hands on any level a bad thing? Like, so it's a lot of those things that I thought I'd kind of discourse about this evening.
Okay. And when I started, I used the example, it was right before you came into the queue. I said last week we talked about the creature that digests its own self and then reforms to fly in the air, which is the caterpillar to the butterfly, and this week it's the transformation of the human being, perhaps we're talking more about, and into from one level of
the body and the physical state transformation, and now we're talking about the spiritual transformation.
So it kind of fits in line with that. Now, many people
The only reason I missed that, I was out with my new puppy, and she took a minute or two more than I thought she would.
The transformation of having a new...
Right. So, anyway, I'd like to say that utilizing different compounds from your body, such as hair or blood or something like that, you can really kind of demarcate and link yourself to, say, a room or to, say, an object or to say, something of that respect, and then imparting your energy on that object as well also would link you to it. So that would say, oh, we're going to great-grandpa Josiah's bedroom and use his hairbrush. Oh, my gosh, then he just appeared to us. Yeah, so it's that sort of thing that is exactly what I'm talking about.
It's funny you
said
that. So
now, is he trying to impart an aspect of himself to other people, or is he trying to do that? I'm not, you know, is that a good idea? That's what I thought would be a little bit for discussion on tonight's show, is that even okay? I mean, in the realm of the idea behind, like, are we, if it's our time to go, should we just go no matter what? No matter what our plans are. What do you think?
I think it depends on this is highly individualistic. There are different belief systems that we come back to Earth to work on things. So if you really think you're supposed to come back and work on something, should you bother with trying to keep conscious, say, Daniel Michael coming back to work on something? Just understand that you're just going to go on and become someone else to work on whatever that lesson is.
Right. Like, is it a bad idea to have an aspect
of the ego here?
Of the ego, of the id, trapped in this sort of fugue state that's interacting but not as powerful as you would be, say, as you're born into the next life, still trying to accomplish that goal. So
now,
in your opinion, that would be a little selfish, because in the master plan, grand master plan of the universe, it's not necessary. You'll be doing whatever you need to do in the next life anyway, so just wait till you get there. Whereas some magicians or people utilizing that sort of ideology would say, well, let me leave a shred of myself here, so that way I make sure my granddaughter gets all the wealth that I've left to her, or that there's no... You know, or that my daughter-in-law, you know, doesn't date another one of those guys that beats her up. Or you get my point.
Right. It reminds me a little of how some of the high magic people will talk about, for lack of a better term, some people don't like those terms, but I'm just using the terms that are used. We'll talk about, you know, what the left-handed path, the surviving of the ego a little bit, like the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the exercises so that yes, you go to a next life, but the actual ego of Darren Bouquet in large part gets to survive into that next life versus just becoming what you would have become anyway. So there are some magical
right.
practices that are all about keeping that ego a little bit intact through
mm-hmm.
they think that's some of the purpose of it. I've even heard, you know, some of these writers I greatly respect. I've often wondered if it's just unnecessary, but it is an interesting point. Is there an exercise to do that, you know, to keep that part of the ego alive?
I think it's very, that's a very real thing. And it could be, as easy as finding out where you're going to turn up again and leaving a lot of objects and things to that person. That would set off a chain of events that would reignite that localized memory.
Right.
Now, the problem would be finding out who the hell you're going to be.
Yeah.
And that you would need angelic information and all kinds of other stuff. Yeah, because those are lines of destiny aren't threaded through completely yet, you know. So that's where it would be difficult. But it's really, it's a big deal. I mean, my wife and I have this conversation because, you know, she works in the funeral business. So she's the funeral director. So, I mean, it's, you know, we talk about all the time where she wants to be, you know, what she wants done to her body, what, you know, what, and I, so my thing is I always like, oh, you know, I'd like a place that way people, if they want to come see where I was buried or ask for a benediction, because that's what they do with Marie Laveau all the time, they could do that. So I think that would be good. And would I impart any of my own essence into that area? I don't know. You know, like that's always a thought. And then, but another part of the aspect of the conversation is, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to know by the time I'm 85 and getting ready to go, or 90. My grandfather's 93 almost.
Yeah,
you
have long moved.
By the time I'm ready to go, I don't know what I'm going to know about how to stay alive. I mean, there's the philosopher's stone out there. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. But
yeah.
We gain knowledge exponentially all the time. I wonder, is Kevin in the chat room?
I don't see Kevin.
Oh.
We do have a couple callers, by the way.
Okay.
Do you want to take a call?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's the first caller, 619. Welcome.
Hello.
619. Yeah.
Hello, you're on Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet and Daniel Michael.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had you on mute. This is Steve.
Okay.
Hello. So you're on Spiritual Insight?
Yes, I'm so glad you're talking about this because that's one of my pet peeves. You know, all the time I see these posts on Facebook, oh, it's so terrible, such and such died, it's so sad, this and that. My feeling is it's not sad, it's just inevitable. We're not here to be here forever. It's a transition,
mm-hmm.
and we go through another plane of existence. So what should our attitude be when people pass away? Because I don't agree with the attitude that I keep seeing and around, you know.
Well, we were talking about transformation last week, and this is transformation of spirit. You know, your spirit inhabits your body, it is a shell of a physical shell, and then it transforms into energy and becomes something else. So largely, it's not, I mean, if you look at it as from a, you know, pseudo-scientifical aspect, there's nothing wrong with that, but truly, I think that we can't mourn the loss of someone in our life, if we truly know that they needed to go to another plane of existence for their benefit.
Right.
But sometimes people are ripped out of our lives, and I talk to people, countless people, you know, in the course of a year about this happening. Like, you know, there was a car accident. It'll be this person will come in, and they'll get a reading from me at the store, and then they'll go, as their reading is coming to an end, they realize it's all about them. And then I do get an overlying sadness, and I say, well, there's a sadness and this and that, so you've experienced something like really dramatically, like some sort of loss. But when they realize that it's their friend or is somebody that they rarely saw in the last 5 years and now they're dead and then they feel horrible, you know, I got to say that, like, in the course of your life, it matters, but it's not changing. It's not showing up in their, you know, like, I'll look at the next 10 months of their life and it's not showing up.
Right.
Does that make, it's not changing their life. So then I say, like, you know, where they headed. And then, and this is when they'll ask me to do, like, my mediumistic work for them, because I don't really advertise that a lot just for people that come in the store or, like, off of Bourbon Street, because it's Bourbon Street. You know what I mean? I don't want to open myself up like that. And then I'll jump into this person's energy, and I'll say, oh, my gosh, well, you know, they had a lot of guilt. They were in a huge amount of pain, and now they're not in pain. And then I'll keep digging into it, and it's like, yeah, this person was a heroin addict. Yeah, they had two newborn children of sorts, like a one-year-old and a two-year-old, and they weren't cutting it, and they were sneaking off to do heroin. And so I tell this person that was, like, best friends with this person, that I'd say, you know, she isn't in pain anymore, and she doesn't feel like a horrible mother anymore, and she knows that her kids are going to be taken care of by grandma, and she knows that her soul's at peace, and then when she comes into the next life, maybe she will be that person like her mother, that will be that, you know, like, so if you get my meaning, that this was the whole allegorical story about how sometimes death is needed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's not anything to really resist or feel bad about. There are things we can do and I think the theme of my show tonight was, like, what can we do to when we, like this person, she wanted to make sure that she ascended to this next stage, so that way, you know, so what can we do to make ourselves a better person? I think it's just doing things karmically, maybe making sure that if your body is kind of more toxin-free, then maybe your soul will be a little bit more toxin-free. I'm not sure. Are there any thoughts that you, what's your name? I'm sorry?
Steve. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know what to say about that one.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your take on that and the afterlife or transitioning?
Well, here's the thing. I've had an experience where it was a dream, but it wasn't a dream because it was just so real. I saw people
uh-huh.
in my family that had passed on, so I believe that we live on. So that's changed my feelings. So I know we live on. So that I'm in a hurry to go. Because I have goals to accomplish, but I know that I'll live on. So.
Okay, now do you think that you'll be earthbound a little bit, like that you'll be able to interact? See, this is what people tell me all the time. Oh, I talk to my ancestors, and there's a lot of ancestral interaction. But when we come to from the other end of it and say, okay, are we going to be one of those ancestors that's popping down to say, hey, you know, David, here's some extra, you know, like here, or go here and you'll make extra money, or this is how you get your rent paid. You know, are we going to be fully consciousness, or that, I mean, is that, I think there's an aspect of our consciousness that does that, but then most of our soul's at peace. What do you think?
Well, I have not experienced that getting that type of advice. I would love to have gotten that type of advice many times, but I do feel they communicate with us. On some level.
Right.
I just want to say, when you mentioned about someone passed, be sad for them, I don't think it's necessarily sad for them. It's sad for the people that feel the loss of them more than anything else. Like yeah. you, who are still living, just lost your best friend, whatever.
No,
you know,
the way I interpreted it was sad that they had to die. That was the way I looked at it.
Yeah, and that you don't experience them anymore because they're gone, more so than what's happening to them, which is the fundamentalist model, which is the, oh, my gosh. I one time there was a death in my family, and I won't say who in my family, but one of the members were saying,
see that glass
and they don't even have a plot of land
glass
because they didn't have a grave plotted out. Like, they're still worried about a plot of land after they're gone. I'm like, I'm not going to worry about paying rent when I'm dead, folks, you know what I mean? Because they didn't have a nice grave with a piece of land.
I think it's because they feel like maybe they didn't accomplish enough in their lifetime. Maybe that's what it is. that they had material goods like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Still expressing that.
Well, my great-grandfather came to me when I was 9 years old, and he was just like, what's up? Like, hey. And he just passed away, and I was like, all right. And then he had shown up subsequent times, several times, when I was either super confused or upset or maybe doing something a little spurless that I shouldn't be doing, you know, like something in that realm. So, you know, that was going on. And then after a while, he kind of just let it go after about 21. And then I started having visits from my mother's father who passed away, which is my grandfather. And so it's like he kind of passed the stick over to somebody and said, hey, you know, watch this guy. You know, and it's just, and I can't help but think that they are at peace and they are, you know, in an elevated state somewhere because they're both, you know, wonderful family men and cared a lot for tons of people. And I couldn't, you know, think of anything wrong with what they're, how they led their lives. Well, my great-grandfather used to like to go to the track a lot, but, anyway, my point is, I don't think that their whole soul is, they're not like boarding a train to come back to Earth to say, let me go visit my great-grandson. You know, I think that there's an aspect of their persona and their strength that comes back through to send that message, but it's not, they are at peace on the other side. That's what I would think.
Right, right, exactly. Finally, mm-hmm. some peace of mind and, you know, get some answers to questions that they've always during their lifetime, they'll finally get the answer. That's what I'm hoping, you know.
Now, in my Afro-Caribbean mystical focus, you know, an ancestral focus is a huge base for what you do. It's a, you know, because it links into your DNA. It links into who you are. I mean, it links, you know, how we behave, what we do. It's all based on where we came from. You know, it's in our real family. So to have that is really important. And on some levels, where who we've been inspired by spiritually is also important. So that's a huge focal point in what I do with a lot of mysticism that I work with is ancestral just acknowledgement, you know. So I guess I want to say that to a lot of neo-polytheists out there and just a lot of people that link into, like, New Age philosophy and stuff. It's like, do not sever yourself from your family. It doesn't matter if, you know, like, oh, well, they're Presbyterian and stuff. You know, at least respect that. I mean, even if they're Mormon and you're not like, I don't agree with that at all, at least respect the fact that they raised you and they're your family. And on some levels, they're trying to impart some sort of spiritual conduit for you. And you can mm-hmm. respect them without having to sign up for whatever they're selling to.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Can I get a general reading?
Yeah. Green, gold, or red?
Gold.
Gold? Okay. Okay, and what's your question? Or you want to just see what
this
comes out? Or, yeah,
see
okay.
What comes
all right, one more. All right, let's see what's happening here. One more. A
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, he's concentrating.
Okay, okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sometimes he's asking his spirit guide. Darren? Maybe he does have a signal issue.
Yeah, he's never deliberated this long for me.
Yeah, he usually does pause, but I think it's I think it's longer than normal.
Do you guys hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I hear you now. Okay.
You can hear me now. Oh, okay. I might have hit mute. I think I might have hit mute. I'm like talking, and I'm like,
I didn't hear anything.
Boring? I'm like, is this just boring stuff or what? I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not getting any reaction. I'm like, damn.
No, we couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. No, the Nine of Pentacles, what we're looking at is being inverted. You would like to be a little bit more physically comfortable financially, and also maybe a little more comfort physically in other areas as well. So we're looking at the fact that you're trying to pull more attention, more finances, and just make your life a little bit more earthly comfortable, you know, terrestrially comfortable. The Three of Wands is inverted as well, so that means, again, so that's speaking to the fact of, okay, we need to move up the ladder a little bit professionally, we need to have a little more access to money, and then there's an ex, it looks like there's an ex-person, ex-love interest here that we're maybe thinking or wondering why, what went wrong, what happened, and what we can do, because the Two of Cups is inverted. So we're maybe thinking that if you're a little bit more affluent, you could have, and I don't think that it's the person, I think it's the archetype of the situation, meaning you're being a little bit hard on yourself, feeling like if you had a little bit more security, a little bit more of what you want financially and physically, then you would have retained some of the positive, you know, some of that relationship. So hold on one second, let me ask. Okay. The next person in line for you is someone that is incredibly bewitching, incredibly, like, mysterious. Wondering if I told you a little bit about this last time you called. Is that?
I think so.
I'm getting High Priestess again, and then I'm getting the Three of Swords, which is hard. Okay, so this is what you're in line for, ready? You're in line for insanely hot, haughtiness person that's going to drive you crazy and mysterious and kickstart your spiritual life again, but it's going to renew your faith in being attracted to somebody. It's going to renew your faith in being excited about life, and on some levels it's going to stomp all over your heart, but it's going to get you activated professionally, and it's going to get you activated sexually, and it's just going to get you activated, which is good, because you have a little bit of a malaise happening.
Right. But why do you say stomp all over my heart?
Because I got the Three of Swords. So the Three of Swords is, I think this is an uncageable animal. But she likes to make you feel like it's okay. You know, like she is cageable, but it's not. So you may be the chew toy of the month or whatever like that. But that's okay, because look, we all need these variables sometimes.
Right.
Now she might cut your cord and run off and then want to come back when she realizes that you actually did have some staying power, that you were this amazing person. But you're going to have to play that badminton match once or twice and again.
Interesting.
Because it's not going to be super relaxed, easy situation. It's going to be, you can't tame me. I don't know you. You know, like this whole thing back and forth.
So right.
That's fine, because it wakes us up. Let me tell you, oh my gosh, like endless parade of dumb chicks that I've dated, I can tell you. No offense to anyone who's listening to this broadcast, but, you know, I can't pay my bills, I don't even know, what are you talking about? Like, just, if you're 35 and you don't know how to figure out how to get your rent, then we probably shouldn't be best friends. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
We probably, if it's a big mystery how to make rent when you're 35, then that's a tough one. It's a tough call. But so this person is going to be an alpha. She's going to be hardcore. So you got to raise the bar, you got to get tough and get in there. And you make a dent while it's happening, while you're having your liaison and you guys are painting each other with silly string and stuff. Make a dent in this person's psyche and make a memory.
And you know what? You might that might end up being your one.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, talk to you soon. Okay. All right. Have a good Sunday night.
You too. Have a great week.
Thanks, Steve,
Thank
for
you.
Calling.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great evening. All right, Darren.
Yeah, I think that's when you meet one of those that. Oh, you got product, Sebastian?
Say what?
When you meet one of those that is like that, you got some product happening? Yeah. Okay. Did you find some in there? We're talking about hair products. It's obviously not for me. But it's obviously not for me.
That happened to me at an event. I was
what?
At an event playing in front of some music industry people, believe it or not. This is years ago.
Uh-huh.
But I was still bald then, you know, I didn't, you know, or mostly I was going bald, so my head was shaved. And some of the other bands were very much like sort of bubblegum kind of bands. I don't even know
right.
why they
invited. Right.
Long story short, somebody came up and asked me for some hair gel. Some young kid was like, oh, my God, my hair's out of place. Do you have some hair gel? I'm like, dude, I'm bald.
Okay, so ready? This is funny for those of us that are shaving our heads. This is what I do sometimes, and it's very mercurial, so please don't judge. I sometimes like to go into salons. I used to do this in D.C. all the time. The person they hire at salons for, like, the front desk is usually not the real brainiac of the salon, pretty much. So I always like to roll into the salon and go, hey, I'd like to schedule a cut and color for 4:30. And the girl's like, okay, what's your name? Okay. What's your phone number? If I get to like any more information, I just look at her like seriously, because there's no hair. Like, yeah, there's no cut and color is gonna be happening. Yeah, it's just I don't know. So I have fun with that sometimes. I enjoy that. And then we laugh, and then I leave. Okay. So la la la. Should we take another caller, or what do you think?
I think a caller, and then maybe a break after that caller, on, depending on how you
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll take a break after that. Yeah, that
next caller, because they've been waiting a pretty good while, and it's 646.
Okay, let's do it.
Here we go, 646. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi,
hello.
Hello. May I get a general reading? And maybe if you want to focus on financial.
Okay. So a general, like a military? No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
I know you're just kidding. That's the same with the hair
appointment. I'm just being silly. I'm sorry. So, yeah, just a kind of an open reading, but maybe more focused on your financial situation. Okay. What's your first name?
Helena.
Helena, okay. Red, gold, or green?
Gold, please.
Gold, okay. Yes, indeed. Well, I got to tell you, I just picked up this deck of tarot cards, and the Knight of Swords just jumped right out, flew and stuck to my chest. So I'm going to tell you, there is someone in your life that's going to help you navigate through some of your financial BS that's going on, including bills, including where you're headed professionally. And a Knight of Swords, a knight is a variable. He is somebody that changes situations. He's assertive, powerful, and will help you figure things out. Now, swords is ideas, intellect, articulation of thought. And so what this person is going to be doing is being very expressive. This could be a lawyer. This could be a financial advisor. This could be somebody that is like both of those things but is just your friend. Listen to this person. They're there to help navigate you through the financial asteroids that you keep hitting. So please do not ignore this person. They're a good person, and they're there to help you. And let's look at what else I get. Hold on. One moment. Mm-hmm. Okay, you tend to be a little... All right, and don't take this the wrong way, but sometimes you get a little feisty and a little crabby sometimes. The Knight of Swords, this knight person is going to help you not be so abrasive and deal with people when you're dealing with them in a disciplinary fashion, when you're dealing with them as colleagues, and just kind of mellow out a little bit, because you're trying to keep things together in a professional fashion when you are working. You're trying to keep people in line. There is some sort of administrative ability that you need to exercise. And what we're seeing is that you want to just get in a lot of the times when you are in these situations and just do it yourself. So it's like if you give the man a fish, they can figure it out, or they, you know, they're just going to be like, okay, and they expect you to do it all the time. Because the first card I got outside the Knight of Swords is the Hangman. And the Hangman puts himself on the cross, so you should be the one exercising your delegating these responsibilities, but instead you just get in and do it yourself.
Yes.
Because it just seems easier. But you're putting too much of your energy out, and then you're getting crabby on top of it, which you're like, where's that fun, nice person that I used to know? Like, what, you know? And you're like, what is going on? This is disappearing. The good news is the Seven of Pentacles means there is a bonus structure, there is a pay hike of some sort, and it may mean a new job, but the thing is, the Seven of Pentacles means that money is on a tree. It's on a money tree. The money tree has to germinate the fruit. So what I'm saying is that you will be in a different financial perspective, and I'm going to say if each card runs into a two-month period, let's just say that's 6 months from now.
That's a long time for what's going on. Okay.
6 months. Now, I'm feeling like you're not switching your situation. So you are employed, right?
I am not. I'm an actor, and I haven't been getting work.
Okay.
But the scenario you described was at a place that I got fired from.
Oh, okay. So this
where
I did
mean, out of work.
Now, when you say what kind of place, what I'm saying is that there's going to be a transformation of that situation. You're not going to be involved. You can't do that anymore. Like, the Hangman that I got was inverted, which means you can't do that anymore. You know, you can't do that type of situation's not going to work for you. It's got to evolve. There's a higher paying, more consistent situation for you on the horizon. However, the money's not there until it's going to be there, and it might take 6 months, which means if you are a professional actor,
mm-hmm.
you may need to do a lot of, a lot of preliminary filming, a lot of other just BS before it gets to pilot. So then, and believe me, I understand this because I'm doing a little bit of that myself right now with some certain things here in New Orleans. It's just sometimes you don't see the money right away. Here's the good news. You will see the money in 6 months. So there is, if you get involved with this, it seems kind of half-cocked production company, and they really like you, and they would like your image, and they like what you put out, and they like some of the other stuff you've done, there will be light at the end of the, you know, there will be gold at the end of the rainbow. And actually, it won't be a half-cocked production company. It'll be somebody bigger, but you know how they option something, and then they don't go ahead with it? They will go ahead with it. You just might have to be, you know, tighten your belt pretty hardcore for a good 4 or 5 months or so, which is unfortunate. And in the meantime, you could be doing something else, which is maybe, I don't even know. You know,
well,
like you got to look into what else you can do as a supplemental.
Yeah, yeah. And as I say, actor as well, I'm asking you, would that include some of the interviewing work I do, which I'm building on? You know, it's the same thing on camera and or radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's obviously, you're pretty versatile, and there's obviously a lot you can do. What you were just involved with does not sound like anything that you should continue to be involved with. And whether or not it's the dynamic, the office dynamic, or the set dynamic, or whatever it was, it's not working for you.
Yeah.
The problem is you have an in with these people, and you could dig that up again if you wanted to. And I guess the message I'm receiving is don't do that.
Well, I don't think I would. I mean, I was fired via email, and I don't know that I'd want to. I mean, I got a little feisty there, but believe me, I was pushed to it because I wanted people to help, and they wouldn't let the volunteers help me. It got to be a lot of maneuvering. I mean, at the end of the day, I did get pretty cranky because I was doing a tremendous amount of work, but then I was also not able to get help. It was crazy situation.
It sounds like you were, I'm not going to say drowning, but you were just, it was not.
I was drowning.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but yeah.
It's true. But it, truth be told, it wasn't all me. In hindsight, maybe I could have handled it better, but it really was. I went in there with pretty good intentions, and I worked like hell. Oh, boy.
Well, that might have been your problem. You went in with good intentions. That's the entertainment industry.
No, you know
that
what?
That might have been where you screwed up. I don't know. I mean, that's going to be me, though, you know, as there's certain elements that are pursuing more of a televised version of what I do, and I'm just going to have to fasten my seatbelt because I'm going to be involved with people that are just very,
The job I'm talking about, though, wasn't in the entertainment industry. This was the sort of office. It was actually a spiritual center. And it was hellish.
Oh, that's horrible to have that sort of dynamic in a spiritual center.
Yeah, no, it was pretty weird. There's a lot of ego. There's a lot of BS. But that's past. But, yeah, as office spiritual center.
Can we make a proclamation together? If you work in a spiritual center, be nice to one another. Try to understand
Amen.
What the other person's going through. Leave your ego at the door. And some people knowing me would laugh about this, me saying that. But, yeah, I mean, I do not push on other practitioners if they're teaching a class, if they're doing whatever. You know, you lend yourself to a communal, cohesive energy if it's a healing center or something. I mean, that's
no, but it wasn't.
Really
it
what
was
you
like,
should do.
I have my volunteers. You have your volunteers. You can't have volunteers. Crazy stuff. Wacky. But,
that's not a good.
Yeah, it's over.
You don't get territorial. If it's a psychic fair, that's different. If it's a healing center that you're involved with, that's not good.
No, it was totally territorial. The woman even had called herself territorial at the end of the day. But woof, what when she was a Taurus?
Wow.
What went on was crazy. So that's over. But that was all in the past. Could you look at one other thing? But, I mean, this is good, though. If it's positive stuff about my acting work and it'll come to fruition, I just have to grab some extra jobs now.
What do you lend into the spiritual community? Do you lend something or are you just involved organizationally?
No. I mean, I have a foot in it. I live there, you know.
Do you have a gift that you lend it yourself to? Or are you...
I work, well, for that I just work there, but I do have gifts. I mean, I can leave
meditation. I think you need to really start manifesting, start opening yourself up, maybe keep a dream journal. Let's look at some transcendental meditation. Let's do more. You know, you are the typical new age person, but you're almost like a lot of it's not really, you're not pushing your energy out enough. Maybe.
That's what you're getting intuitively?
Yeah.
You're not
riding the serpent. You're not being part of the energy. You're kind of sailing along with the flow of it, and you're mildly interacting, but you're not deeply affecting it.
Well, again,
that is maybe why you're feeling residually a little bit like your energy was sucked. And by the way, it sounds like there's people involved in that situation that were energy suckers. So that's probably why.
No, there were. It was pretty wild. But that, again, that's in the past. And you're right. While I was there, I did not put my gifts out because I was getting very frustrated with it. And I said, I don't want to hang my shingle up here. It wasn't feeling right. And maybe that was wrong. I don't know. But it didn't feel to do that. I had thought about it at the beginning to do some workshop things there, but then it didn't feel right because I could have because I was doing all the programming.
I hate to say this, but it's sometimes people just don't, they don't give you a chance and they don't respect you. And it is a little bit of who's got the stronger smelling urine when you deal with new agey types because that person that, you know, you go in and the first person to pee on the telephone pole gets a telephone pole. You know,
yeah,
and it's just like, it's bad. And if you haven't done it yet, then it's almost like they're not going to see you as somebody that can pee on the telephone pole.
Yeah, and I'm pretty gentle. I'm not like that, so I didn't want to go in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of beautiful people there, and there was a lot of BS there. But, again, that's all past.
Mm-hmm. I think that you should take
like you said, you want to do a workshop? Let's look at what that workshop is. Let's
I wouldn't do a workshop there. They wouldn't even accept
me. No,
there.
I'm saying you could still do a workshop somewhere, though.
Yeah, if I really chose to. I don't know that I choose
Maybe
to.
I know that, listen, actualizing as an actor is actualizing as a spiritualist, too. One hand washes the other. It's sending your energy out.
I do that with my actor friends. We get together sometimes. And, you know, we work together on manifestation. That's how I think I got my Screen Actors Guild card.
All right. So that's how you got your SAG card. That's how you do. So do some more manifestation. Manifest, but maybe get a workshop going. Look, I had a number, and Daniel Michael could tell you, I had a number of really cool workshops that I would do at a couple of stores I worked at in D.C. when I was in D.C. But they just don't have that format here. If I had more time, maybe I'm thinking about doing it again. But it's like get a couple of niche, you know, workshops that you do and have that be your thing. And pretty soon you might be doing two or three a week. Who knows? I don't know where you live or if it has a calling for that, but you get my point, right?
I do get your point. That's not a bad idea, and it's not actually maybe a good idea to do it with actors and for actors.
It might be a great idea. I mean, I don't know. Do actors have emotional problems, and are they a little high maintenance? Would they need something like a spiritual session?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And many of them are really
Hello,
spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Perfect.
Your pay would be again, okay.
It would be amazing. Seriously. I can't tell you who, but I've had, like, little gaggles of all sorts of movies get filmed here. So,
at that whole big film center. Someone was just showing it to me. There's an actor friend in New York, and she just moved back there. And
I'm in New Orleans, but we get a lot
of
stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Here.
There's a lot going on in New Orleans. You're lucky right now. There's a lot
going
on. Film.
Wow. And some people are on set and they're doing all sorts of stuff, and then they need a cleansing or whatever, and I do really amazing just chakra and aura cleansings, like really powerful stuff, you know. They're a little bit deeply religious, but they're good. So.
No, it's cool.
Well, call us back, please, and let us know what's happening for you, what's shaking loose.
Can I ask you something else?
Well, no, we're really running out of time.
All right.
So,
okay. All right.
Okay. But call us back in a you know, week or two and let us know. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Darren.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks again. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And thank you for calling Spiritual Insight. Okay, Darren, now for those listening or that will listen in the magical time machine that is the archive listen, we don't know where they can contact you.
Yeah. You can get a hold of me at dbucaredwhocare@gmail.com or at Marie Labo's House of Voodoo on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. Please contact me. We can set up a private consultation and kind of examine what's going on with you and what's happening. So we have less than 7 minutes. So should we take two or three, or what do you think?
Let's just go ahead real quick and do it. You got 5 minutes, 2 of 3. Welcome to Spiritual Insight.
Hi. I'm probably going to make this really quick. Do you see any changes in my finances, anything good?
Okay. Well, how about we just stick with the gold tarot cards? How about that? That'll work well for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. And what's your name?
Ebony.
Ebony, okay.
A lot of people want to know about money today.
Absolutely.
Right, well, hang on. I know. Yes, they do, right? All right, Ebony, one moment.
Hello?
I think he's still there.
This is all, listen, you need to stabilize your home, stabilize your relationship stuff. It's just your emotional base is vibrating. It's vibrating all over the place. So you're not effective. You're not being the most effective professional person that you normally are, and it's because of some really intense
male energy that's coming in your vibrational, in your aura, and it's bouncing you around. You know, you feel like you want your thoughts to be certain about what direction you're going in, and who you're keeping in your life, and where you're living, and what's going on, and that is making money seem difficult. It seems like it's sand slipping through your fingers. So hold on, Matt, what you need to do. Hold on.
That's true.
All right. Wow. I can't believe I'm doing this. When's the last time you went to church? You need to get your ass to church. I'm telling somebody to get their ass to church. I'm like the most polytheistic person. But see, but good luck. Your guys are speaking through me right now, and they're telling you to get to church because your moon is. I get the moon card upside down, and I'm getting like you got to get back online. You got to get somebody on your side. You need your guardian angels back, and just then you can ask them. Say, hey, I need some more money. You know, no one's listening to you. You're not trying to do it with yourself. You're trying to do it in your head and figure it all out in your head. And then if you're going to ask, like you're asking me, I'm just an extension of spirit. I'm just a conduit for stuff. So I'm just in spirit. It's like, hey, tell her to go to church. I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, go to church. So go to church and say, hey, whatever job situation I'm feeling it right now is just being, it's okay. It's not great. Whatever you have cooking or you did have cooking and then it's going to continue, it's okay but not great. There is great out there, and there is great out there in your area. I feel like there the jobs you want with what your experience is, you can push forward in your area. There's just, you're not galvanizing. When I say galvanizing, it's really heating up your energy to a melting point and then shaping it into whatever you want it to be.
Well, I just opened a new business. That's the thing.
You just opened your own business?
Yeah, new business.
That wasn't the smartest thing to do right now because you're not in the best emotional place, and you're not in the best. You need guardian angels on your side. You need God on your side. You need the energy of the universe on your side.
Yeah,
that's why.
I mean,
that's why they're screaming through me right now for you to get that together, because if you don't. You're trying. It's a exercise of hubris, and hubris is this: I got it. I am everything. I don't need nobody else to do it for me. And you're not alone. You were created by mystical, supernatural forces and God and all that stuff. So you need them to be online because you're creating something now in your own business.
That's a good point. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, and you'll see everything change. You'll see everything just start snapping off. You'll be like, "Are you kidding me?" That guy that was supposed to bring X amount of, you know, whatever, the permission slip or the, you know, title for something over or whatever, that guy that isn't getting back to you, he'll show right up. Everything will just start flowing and flowing and people will be interested. Everything. You're pushing on a steamroller. And you need to get behind the steamroller and just follow it. You get my point?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, cool. You're welcome. And I'm excited for you. Seems like it's done turning around. That's good.
So you're saying she needs to appeal to a higher power, basically, to help her, is what's going on, instead of trying to do it all herself.
I'm telling, if she doesn't, weird things are going to happen, like spooky things. Mm. Like the moon inverted, it can be really spooky sometimes. Like she's going to be like, are you joking me? So it's good to get, you know, oh, yeah, see, look, it's real simple with the way where Ebony's at. It's either you start getting right with your higher energy, or higher energy is going to make it things difficult for you. So it's one or the other.
Okay.
So.
That's a good point. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ebony.
So again, everyone, thank you for calling Spiritual Insight or listening in. Thank you, Daniel, for giving me a little of a music update. Hopefully, we'll be able to play some of that. Now, are you finished and mastered with it yet or not?
No, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay,
good.
Well, we'll soon be able to hear Daniel Michael's new CD on the show. This is Spiritual Insight. Thanks again for calling in.
And if you want to get a hold of me again, dbucare@gmail.com. And thanks again, everyone.
All right. Thank you all. You've been listening to Spiritual Insight with Aaron Bucare. Have a great evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
You're listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.